In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, let us quieten in thanksgiving and prayer. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that You have given us this new day of grace to worship and to believe in You, and to once again in this new year to renew our promises that we want to be Your children for as long as we have life upon this earth. And we believe, dear Father, and have this living hope that through Your Son and His merit work, we have the hope of the everlasting glory of heaven when this life is done. We thank You for all the blessings, how carefully You had cared for us throughout the last year. Through Your grace and mercy and Your kingdom upon this earth, we pray that You would continue, and that we could continue in this blessedness as this new year unfolds before us. Give us strength and wisdom through Your Spirit to continue as Your grace children upon this earth. We thank You and pray for the continuance of the freedoms that we enjoy in our land. May this continue for us, for our children, our grandchildren, for as long as You have measured this time for Your children, Your kingdom upon this earth, until that time where it will be raised into glory with the coming, second coming of Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As I finally got around to the last few days to go through the assigned text for this Christmas season that is just passed, this one place in Titus caught my interest. And in spite of the doubts that I dare to say all the servants of God's kingdom entertain when they need to come and endeavor in the service of God's holy and everlasting word, I thought I would read this place and we could discuss this. And if God gives words and understanding to the poor servant, that these are communion services. Titus is a short letter of the Apostle Paul, a little longer than the following letter that Paul sent to Philemon. This Titus has three chapters, where Philemon, I believe, only has one chapter. But there was so much, as I read it over this morning, there was so much precious instruction in love to us, the children of this day, as it was accepted, I'm sure, and treasured by the believers of that day and throughout all time up till now. I really didn't know where I should begin and where to end. Mainly thinking of this in the second chapter from verse 11 to verse 15. But I will read from verse 6 of the second chapter. And to the fourth verse of the third chapter, and the words are in Jesus' name. Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Here the Apostle Paul is giving instructions. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth forth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking at the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrate, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards all men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. I'm sure you, brothers and sisters, old and young alike, when you read, as I hear these words as I read them this morning, our head bows down that. How fruitful and how diligent have we been in any of these things. We find ourselves falling far short of being obedient even to these instructions of God's Spirit through his servants of that time and his servants. We preach these same things now as all throughout all time. But there was a time when those around Jesus asked Jesus that, what shall we do to do, what can we do to do the works of God? And Jesus told them that you do the works of God when you believe upon him whom he has sent. again, we are reminded that we cannot, as we heard even here, that not through works of righteousness, which we have done. We cannot fulfill the smallest part of righteousness. But it all, every bit of it must be the righteousness of the Heavenly Father through His Son, whose innocent blood was shed on Calvary's cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And when we have to believe upon Him whom God has sent, whose birthday we have just celebrated in the last week or two, then we are acceptable unto the Heavenly Father through His grace and His mercy. Sound speech talks about showing ourselves in good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. We all recognize and understand that these are good and desirable traits. And it is not wrong to try to pacify our own sin, corrupt nature, that it would be amenable to these instructions of God. But like the Apostle Paul has lamented, the very writer of this epistle, that the good that I would not do, I do. The good that I would do, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. And then he laments further that, who will deliver me from this body of sin? And God answered unto the Apostle Paul. God's Spirit answered this to him in his dark feelings of incapability. That be ye satisfied in my grace, for my grace is sufficient for all these. And what else can we cling to today, brothers and sisters, but that grace that God has shown on to us by and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters. I'm not sure if this, certainly, we are all servants in one form or another. I am a servant endeavoring in this service that God's congregation has set me in, which seems so many years ago already. But that we are servants, that we would be obedient in all things. How often do I complain like this morning? And we heard so preciously. You are a better at last evening services. The stubbornness that we feel as humans, even in this service of the Word. Many times I have had these same feelings that maybe the weather is bad or difficult, or maybe the occasion is such that when the services have been planned here that we feel that, well, as a servant, we wonder, is there anybody going to even be at services this evening? It is always comforting to know that there are the hungering ones, that because they have this desire and are able to attend. Many times, like at this time of the year, there is so much family gatherings, and that's not wrong. This is precious and good fellowship. And at the same time, we have sicknesses like in our families in Saskatoon, it seems like the flu that makes its appearance through the winter and can go from one child to another in a bigger family. It can hold a person housebound for weeks on end. But this isn't our desire. Is this not our desire that if we can, we come into the fellowship of God's Word? Have you ever been disappointed with coming into the fellowship and the gatherings of God's children? I certainly must say that I haven't. Even I've felt so lazy. Sometimes my body, my selfishness has felt lazy about coming here. But like that dear brother Melvin Pierness used to say that there is only one good thing about this sinful flesh, and that is that we, through the Spirit, can force it to bring us into the worship and the fellowship of God's children. How true is this, brother? This is, brothers and sisters. But this, when it talks about service, this book of Philemon, this following epistle, is a kind of a personal letter to a slave keeper, which is totally foreign to us. This slave of Philemon's, or Philemon's master, whoever it was, had escaped but had received the grace of repentance, and he was returning to his master. This was the socially accepted norm for those days, even it seems so strange to us. It hasn't been, slavery has not been in our lands for, 250 years. It's so far in the distant past. But it was in these times, and especially through the room, this letter of Titus. The Apostle Paul had sent this to Titus shortly before he was arrested and had to go to Rome, where he was executed for the false accusations that were against Paul. He became a martyr to his faith. And as I have read of old histories and Romans, the little that I remember from it, it was certainly a difficult, cruel time where slavery was rampant throughout the world and followed through for many, many years. But still God's Word, even in this, handles it in a, according to God's Spirit. When we have read, and I'm sure you have read about the horrible cruelty that the slaves of those days were treated with. God's Word does not allow this, even in its Philemon. Even it doesn't specifically speak against slavery, but about the love and grace of God that is even open to those that are in this bondage of slavery. But it says that, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again or not back-talking or backlashing at masters. How many times do we hear that on a job? I certainly have in my working days, about complaining and backbiting of our masters or our bosses, our superintendents. But God's Word doesn't allow that for us. We just take in obedience and humility, do our work that is set before us. And then now we're into this designated text of the past week or so, where the Apostle Paul says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men." There are those people that feel that this grace of God has not appeared to all men. the so-called, they might make these kind of false accusations against us, that how come we're not preaching this gospel throughout the entire world? But we know that God's word is true, and this grace has appeared unto all men at some time in history. And I remember a dear friend of mine in Minneapolis, certainly wasn't of Finnish nationality at all. I think he was Scottish. And he went to work, or traveled to work, with a believer in the same ride for years and years and years. And that believer confessed his faith to this unbelieving co-worker of his. And he could, I remember him telling us, he used to travel here quite often. He was an older man, he was a single man, he never married, he was retired. And he said how he just could not understand that such a small group of people could be right and everybody else is wrong in the world. He just said it just did not fit. He was thinking about these things with his carnal mind. And until one day, after many years of traveling and working together with that believing man, that he told him, he said, how can you believe like this when you think of all these people in the darkest continents of this world that have never even heard of what you are preaching? And this brother told him that, why would you be worried about all those people and you are not concerned about the salvation of, personal salvation of your undying soul? And he said that shook him right down to his boot heels. And as he started pondering it on this basis, God opened his grace to him. And he was able to receive this gospel of the forgiveness of sins personally. And he left to follow us and the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Paul has written, until God's time came to take him away from this earth. So we believe, like God's word here tells us, that the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared all to all men. But all men, sad to say, have not been able to accept it. From the Pharisees of the time of Jesus to the Pharisees and the self-righteous or the ungodly, publicly ungodly today, they are not able to accept this simple doctrine of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. But, and so here the apostle then goes on to talk about this grace. If he says, teaching us that grace has appeared to us. And through our parents or personally, whatever the case may be, we have had the good fortune to be born, if not all of us, at least many of us, into believing homes. And it has taught us. And what does this grace of God teach us? It says, this grace, and remember that this is not the law of the Ten Commandments. It is the grace of God that teaches. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It doesn't mention anything about the righteous law of God. The Apostle Paul talks about the law of God. It says it is like a schoolmaster driving one on to Christ. This was that schoolmaster that drove that brother that I just spoke of in Minneapolis, drove him on to Christ, where he found himself as a total and lost sinner. And then he was able to accept this gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and precious blood, when he had shed all his own righteousness and been able to put that away. And this is also the mercy and the love of God that opens these things to us. teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the living hope that we have received as a gift of the one of the many, many gifts of faith that God has given us, His children, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One day, He will return, just like in the beginning pages of the Acts of the Apostle, where that angel tells those, after Jesus' resurrection, there is, that angel is standing, all of a sudden they notice there's this angel, this other person standing there. And he says and when he had spoken these things, this is concerning Jesus in his resurrection, or his ascension into heaven. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. There was two men there, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This is what we read about here, and the apostle is reminding and supporting and comforting us. It says that for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, He will surely come again. God's word is sure. Not in anything, not the slightest little thing has God's word ever been in error. And it is certainly what we can trust and bank our entire life on. Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This peculiar word, peculiar people, which we are, is an antiquated word. When we think of peculiar, at least I do, and I think many of you others, we talk about some person is that maybe they're a little strange, or that the kids would say stunned or ducks or whatever. That they're kind of a peculiar. But this is not what God's word of this writing means. A peculiar. In the Finnish it says omaisuut and kansa, or we are a nation of people that are set apart. And I think, I don't know if we always remember that when we are in our everyday life and used to working and having to do with those on the outside that know us and we know them and have gotten used to us and have in the largest part accepted us as we are. But I know that this was with me, can I say, a sensitive area when I went to school, and I wonder if you young boys and girls haven't experienced the very same thing today. The world is no better now than it was when I was a little boy. If anything, it's worse. The enemy of soul has devised even more insidious, difficult ways for us to avoid his temptations and falling into his snare. When I was a boy in that little village of Dunblane, where it was an active school at that time, and there were many children in school at that time. But my sister and I were the only believers in that whole school. You have the good fortune and the blessedness of having many young brothers and sisters in faith for your friends in school. Not that the instruction of God that you would avoid those that are on the outside of this kingdom. But we are, as it talks about Abraham, and God's word teaches us that as much as is in you, live in peace with all men. But every now and again, when the picture shows of that time would come to the town, or the dancers would come to the town, things that those, my classmates and my friends in that town just looked forward to. But when I didn't participate in those, being that I was from a believing home and I was a believing child, then the ridicule would often come. And it was difficult. It was difficult for me to take. I wanted to be like the others. But how can we be like those others when it comes to matters of faith? There comes a time when we are known and identified as this peculiar people, or this people set apart here. And it is, and it always has been. This is written 2,000 years ago, or close to 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't changed. It's still that we are a people set apart. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, endeavoring in good works. It is continuing exhortation of God's word that we would continue, not as those in darkness that continue, but that we do travel in the light as he is in the light. As we hear in the communion service today, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't this a wonderful communion, and a communion of saints, a fellowship of saints that we can be part of today, entirely to God's grace and mercy? Where would we be? From you dear children and boys and girls, and to the oldest grandmother and the grandfather here, that where would we be if we didn't have this indescribable grace that God has given to all who believe upon his Son according to scriptures? And then he has said that these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. We don't need to back away from this stand that we are given to in God's kingdom. With all authority, let no man despise thee. We don't need to be ashamed of it. We would, if they despise us and they shame us, I guess what can we say? That's their problem, not ours. We are free children of God upon this earth. And we are protected at this time by the laws of this land, so we can have total freedom in this even. Put the mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Here's a good instruction again for us, that those that are in our authority, all powers, we are subject to them, as befits a child of God. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. How quick our tongue can belittle not only those that are in our authority, but does it sometimes happen? I know it has to me, that we criticize our dear brothers and sisters in faith who have been washed and cleansed of their sins just like I have. What room is there for criticism? Because we are that same precious family of God. How weak and sinful we find ourselves under this precious instruction and loving word of God. For we, and you say here, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. This is what the world is like on the outside of God's kingdom. And those that have been in different places of work, they have told, I haven't ever witnessed that so closely myself, but when you get into authority in the school systems, the hospital systems, or the government system, they are shocked at the amount of backbiting there can be. So I guess when we really think of these things, even we find ourselves so sinful, but this grace of God has still endeavors to carry us and keep us on the right path to salvation. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is this not the last word of our life, our hope, our salvation? That Jesus Christ shed His blood, shed it to the last drop on Calvary's cross for you and I, dear brother and sister. Be comforted under this gospel of the forgiveness of sins and believe your last sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And will you bless me with this gospel as well, brothers and sisters? We can continue in childlike simplicity and faith. God will care for us as He has promised to. And as we come to the Lord's communion, the Lord's Holy Supper, it has been prepared for you, and it has been prepared for me. So that in that body and the blood, in the wine and in the bread, we remember the great sacrifice that He has done on our behalf, that we can be partakers of this supper and gives us assurance and confidence that as we continue in faith, someday eternity, the blissfulness of heaven will be ours. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.